Point and stare at TJ and Riggins anytime you want on YouTube. This is the TJ and Riggins Show.
And I hate to do this now, since Riggins just brought that hate mail thing in here, the hate letter from the human hater, calling me a dog hater, obviously a human hater.
Yeah.
Because this is going to anger people as well.
Oh, no.
It's another one of those lists, I guess, an updated list from the Reddits about phrases that annoy you every time you hear them.
Okay. This is right up your alley.
Yeah. Just hit the highlights here. I was today years old.
Yeah.
I was the first to say that was annoying. This is one I really, really hate. This. In place of saying that you agree. This.
Oh.
Another one is that guy. Not that guy. I'm not that guy.
You're not that
Cameron,
guy.
Cameron Newton relies on that as a crutch in his speech a lot. He's gotten really popular on podcasts and sports talk shows on ESPN and whatnot. And his vocabulary is about 5 words. You know, not a sharp one when it comes to linguistics. You're not that guy. You're not that guy. It's like, all right, we get it.
I hate that.
We get it. Well played.
Ooh. Well played.
I'll go ahead and add this one too. You're not wrong.
Hey,
instead of saying you're right, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
And you know what? He's not wrong. tell me blank without telling me you're blank.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's no such thing as a stupid question. Yes, there is a stupid question. A lot of stupid questions. I did a thing.
Yeah.
Is another one. I also have said for years that I may or may not have.
May or may not.
That gets on the nerves too. Mm-hmm.
I think I say absolutely everyone.
living my best life, living his best life, living your best life. The ick is on this list. I haven't called that one out yet. It doesn't bother me that much. Adulting have been, that was years ago. I struck that from the list of things we should be saying. And then a couple of others that weren't on the list. You can have several seats. This is from my own annoyances. You can have several seats or however many seats. Louder for the ones in the back.
Yeah.
Read that again. You know.
A lot of these are very internet speak too. You see it a lot in comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think one of the most annoying for me is your truth, my truth, their truth.
Mm.
There's only one truth. It doesn't belong to anybody. It's just the truth.
It's just it. Yeah.
Not your truth or my truth.
This is my truth. Yeah, I hate that. Ooh.
Yeah. Well
so
played.
Dramatic.
Well played, Lynn. Oh, no-brainer is another one I can't stand.
No-brainer.
Hey, this is a no-brainer, man.
Yeah.
Again, so get ready, Riggins, man the complaints on that.
Yeah, the floodgates are going to open up.
Mm-hmm. And if Cameron Newton wants to fight me, tell him I don't work here anymore.
Yeah.
Because I saw what he did to those three guys that jumped him on the stage that time.
Yeah, he held his own.
Yeah.
he's a big boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could take him.
I need the
publicity. I need the...
Would you take a beating?
I need to go viral.
Would you take
I can hold my own, but I wouldn't end up. I mean, I'm an old man.
This is the TJ and Reagan Show. Available whenever you want it on the TJ and Riggins app. This is the TJ and Riggins Show.
I don't know when this happened, but I'm guessing it was recently. There was a 2.5-hour flight on an American Airlines plane that apparently didn't have working water, quote unquote. And so the passengers were told to be sure to use the restroom before boarding. It's like, okay, we're gonna be out for 2.5 hours, and there's no water on the plane. You won't be able to go to the bathroom. So make sure you TT, make sure you potty before you get on the plane.
I don't know if I could make it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I could easily make 2.5 hours, but is it one of those things where if you're sitting still and you get kind of bored or whatever, then it starts hitting you, oh, yeah, I need to go to the bathroom, good, as something to do subconsciously. But I know women's who have had babies and all, you know, sitting on their bladders for 9 months. Sometimes it makes their bladders lower. Like my mama used to say, hers is at her ankles.
Yeah.
What a visual.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't be far away from a bathroom because, you know, my bladder is at my ankles after having you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it may have something to do with the 13 cups of coffee you drink throughout the day.
Right. More than that. I drink a lot too. And on a plane, you're dehydrated. So I just keep drinking. Like you said, it'll be in your head that you can't, mm-hmm. so then you have to. Listen, I'm bringing a diaper, and if I got to pee in that and throw it at the people, get your planes to work.
But like, they didn't even know it. You wouldn't have time to put on a diaper.
That's true. Yeah.
You got to the airport, and I would rather say you can't go to the bathroom on this flight rather than have them go, or we can delay it till we get another plane in here or get the water working.
Oh.
I'd say, look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just use it without flushing it.
That's true.
I think that's probably what they're hoping for. Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's an emergency, you can use it. But
then how do you tell people that you can only do number one?
Yeah. Right. What if somebody has a tummy emergency? This is not a good situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never had to do that.
If they'd use the vomit bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An important storm.
Man.
Yeah.
They need to make those bigger anyway for just such an occasion.
Yeah. A little paperback.
Or like a different kind of contraption, just in case.
Oh, it's my nightmare to have to do that on a plane.
You know what I always wonder, though? Would those vomit bags be good for storage, food storage and all? Like, you know, like you could put cookies in it, roll it up. It's got that plastic liner, mm-hmm. like a package of cookies has. Not after it's been used, but just take it from the plane and take it home.
Does it, and it has one of those things that you can.
They have the little clips on each end. Yeah.
I've never pulled that out. It's got all that stuff on it.
I've used one before.
And it has to have that plastic liner because the way it won't seep through if you have to use it. You threw up in one?
Mm-hmm.
When?
It was my very first flight ever, and I got flight sick.
Motion sick.
Yeah. I didn't actually throw up, but I was in there. The person next to me was probably like, what the heck?
Yeah. That's how you keep somebody from sitting beside you. They'll ask for another seat. As soon as you get on the plane, you put that thing in your lap and start looking like you're about to throw up in it.
Yeah.
The people sitting next to you will ask for a different seat.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Then you can sprawl out.
Yeah. I wish I was faking
it's
it.
It's a little travel hack for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
But yeah, people should take those and use them for, you know, cookies.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense.
Crackers. Put your crackers in there. Come on.
This is the TJ and Reagan Show. The most important stories in the world. This is Now Trending on the TJ and Reagan Show.
So Waffle House announced yesterday that there's going to be a 50-cent surcharge for every egg you get at the, you know, America's largest breakfast chain. They made a whole statement. They said, we don't know how long the, you know, egg prices are going to be the way they are, but for the foreseeable future, until things change, 50 cents per egg.
But why do they call it a surcharge? Why don't they just say this is what the price of eggs is now?
That's what I was thinking.
A 50 cent per egg surcharge across all of its menus.
Why did they have to announce? Couldn't they, like you said, just up the price, change the menus, and call it an egg?
Well, I think they did address that specifically. They said they didn't want to do it across all menu items. I'll get the exact wordage. Verbiage, rather. 50 cent per egg surcharge on all. Rather than increasing the prices across the menu, this is a temporary targeted surcharge tied to the unprecedented rise in egg prices.
Okay, but isn't surcharge short for service charge?
I don't know.
I thought sir was abbreviation for service.
It's S-U-R.
Oh, I think it's surplus charge or
something. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Okay. We're continuously monitoring egg prices and we'll adjust or remove the surcharge as market conditions allow.
But wait, hang on a second, Rob. What? How do you spell service?
S-E-R?
Oh my God, you're so stupid.
I can't believe that.
It's S-U-R. It's sir, S-U-R, vice. Oh my God. What an idiot. It's okay. It's okay, Rob.
So they've got 2,000 restaurants. And I know why it's, you know, people yeah. rely on a Waffle House even when the weather's really bad and stuff. TJ's no. very tickled with himself.
No, I'm also tickled at, you know, I rely a lot on Waffle House.
Yeah. It's always open. It's always yeah. available yeah. for people that travel.
It's true.
I think yeah. a lot of people are, but 50 cents per egg, that's no
it's
joke.
It's my sanctuary.
It might be.
I rely a lot on
it. It might be. Diddy has been hospitalized for knee pain. This seems like help me get out of prison for yeah. a little bit. This isn't as much fun for
you. You scared in that jail.
Yeah. So they said he was taken to the Brooklyn Hospital for the Metropolitan Detention Center late last week. He said his knee was bothering, in quotes.
His knee isn't bothering him. I mean, you're 50-something years old. I mean,
exactly. So his attorney said, I can't comment on anything related to prisoner movements, but...
Because he knows that every comment that he makes, that Puffy is going to be in the background talking over him. You get it? You get it? That's right. Tell him. Let him know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk to him. Talk to him, player.
And then one other thing, today's National Hemp Day. So I know you can get clothing and stuff made out of hemp. They even make sheets made out of hemp now, I'm pretty sure. But I don't think you can smoke hemp. I think there's a difference. It's not National Pot Day. That's in April. That's yeah. April 20th. But this is National Hemp Day. So
I'm surprised they haven't given up on the whole hemp thing. See, hemp was used as kind of like an avenue to get the ball rolling of legalizing marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. It was, it's more than just people getting high. You can make clothing from it, and you can, and you know, anything back then that was made out of hemp looked like dope head people would wear it.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
Only dope heads would wear it.
Yeah.
So now they got it legalized. Why do they keep on with the whole hemp thing?
I don't know.
Let it go. You got it. You got what you wanted.
You did your job.
Yeah, now put the ugly clothes away.
TJ and Lindsay always in search of a new diet plan, something interesting to experiment with their bodies. Well, they probably missed this one, but it is guaranteed to work. I'll share it with you next.
More TJ and Riggins coming up. This is the TJ and Riggins podcast and radio show.
So if you missed the TJ and Jody's House podcast yesterday, Sparks flew. TJ was talking about making dinner more than Jody, and she contradicted. She said, I make dinner more than you. And he goes, well, when I cook, I clean. And when you cook, I also clean. And she said, that's not true. Everybody knows you. And she called you a liar.
Yeah.
She said, you are a liar.
It's very disrespectful.
Were you lying?
No.
Oh. I was like, he probably is lying.
Yeah, yeah.
But TJ and Lindsay are sort of kindred spirits in that they will always look for a new diet plan. It, no matter how crazy it sounds, I mean, Lindsay has done some wild things, but I think TJ's done some crazier things. Eating sardines in the middle of Walt Disney World to get protein in or something. I don't know. It's just like some wacky stuff.
But that was back when I was really in shape and everything. Now it looks like I haven't tried a diet in 30 years.
You know? Yeah, well,
same. I mean, same though.
What's the craziest thing you ever did, Lindsay?
I haven't done like super crazy, but I've done like diet pills and this and that, you know, like on the market, the new hot new.
But there was one time she would come to work and say she'd only had an apple for the past 2 days, one apple, you know?
Oh yeah. Like starving myself. Sure.
Oh gosh.
So back in the dancing days. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she had to weigh in.
Yeah.
Well, in the 1970s, Vogue, the, you know, magazine Vogue posted this diet, that would guarantee you would lose 5 pounds in 3 days. Now that sounds pretty good, especially as people, they say beach bodies are made in the winter, you know?
Sure.
So I just want you to check this out from the 1970s. This is your day. For breakfast, you'll have one hard boiled egg, one glass of white wine, preferably a dry Chablis.
Ooh, Chablis.
Chablis.
Chablis. And black coffee. Lunch, two hard boiled eggs, poached if necessary, two glasses of white wine and black coffee. Mm-hmm. So now we're at two glasses of white wine. And then for dinner, a 5 ounce piece of steak grilled with black pepper, lemon juice, the remainder of the white wine, you get one bottle allowed per day, and black coffee.
I'm down.
Wow.
I'm down. So,
Lindsay, would you be able to cut back that much to just one bottle a day?
One bottle.
It'd be tough on my Chablis.
There, this recipe has gone viral because people can't believe it. And they also say, this sounds awesome. I get to drink an entire bottle of wine a day on a diet plan.
Should I try this?
A woman documented her experience on the 1970s Vogue diet on a website called The Kitchen. She said, at first it was awesome. I'm drinking wine at every meal. She lost 7 pounds in 3 days, 2 more pounds than they promised. But she said, at the end of the day, her stomach was still empty and she had had a bottle of wine. She said, I got that college feeling where it was like sad girl drunk. She goes, it worked physically, but it kind of wrecked me emotionally.
I don't understand the wine part though. Eating a boiled egg, eating 2 boiled, you're barely eating. So I get the losing weight.
Well, I guess the wine is to help you deal with it. Yeah. You know, because you're not so sitting there going, this sucks. You're like, wow, I get to have 2 glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Her pictures of her documenting her experience are just her laid out on the couch with her glass of wine next to her. Like her, and she's like, day two. Yeah.
So it has funny. To be a dry Chablis, not a, what do you say your husband likes, Lindsay?
Buttery shard.
A buttery shard. Can't be a buttery shard.
No. I guess not.
Too buttery. Butter.
Yeah. A lot of calories in butter.
Yeah.
Not a
buttery shard. Excuse me, ma'am, waitress, can I get a buttery shard? It's so embarrassing.
More TJ and Riggins coming up. Point and stare at TJ and Riggins anytime you want on YouTube. This is the TJ and Riggins Show.
I'm still laughing about that Vogue diet that Riggins just told us about in the last segment. Where you drink wine with every meal.
Yep.
And lose 5 pounds in 3 days.
Yep.
Guaranteed. And we're talking about, they said a Chablis. And Riggins said he'd never heard of that. And that was a, you know, kind of popular in the 70s, I think, a Chablis.
Okay.
And there's a song by John Anderson called Tequila, Straight Tequila Night. And it says something about a glass of Chablis and some quarters and change with girls coming in having fun at the bar. And it said, but don't ask her anything on a straight tequila night because she's thinking about him and she's ready to fight. You know, but he mentions Chablis.
What a classic.
And then the rosé became, that was kind of trendy in the 80s, I think. And then it came back a few years, like several years ago. And then they turned it into frosé and all of that.
Yeah, frosé.
Ladies who brunch, rosé.
But that, all of that to tell you about this wonderful prank that I, you know, I like doing pranks on the people.
Sure.
We have this couple that we're friends with, and they're very fancy people. They're great, love them, but they're fancy. And I call them fancy. I call them Jody's fancy friends. Their names are Glenn and Jodine. And they're from Northern California. They moved to the South from Northern California, and they know everything about wine. They're like real wine people. So when rosé became popular again, she was talking about, you know, how much she liked it and all of this. And we were going out somewhere and they didn't have rosé. And I said, you know, rosé is just a new name. You know, they just put it under that name to make it sound fancy. It's actually white Zinfandel. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pink wines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's such a wine person, she'd never heard of white Zinfandel.
Oh, she's one of those, yeah. Huh?
Right. So I talked her into just get a glass of, just tell them you want some white Zinfandel. And she did, thinking that it was going to taste like rosé. And of course, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't?
Not at all.
No, that was my college go-to.
Yeah. That's about like saying you can have the Filet Oscar, Riggins, or you can have a TV dinner Salisbury steak.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one? Which one is the rosé
is better. The White Zinfandel comes in a box and the whole thing. A lot of times it comes in that Franzia box.
Yeah, I was going to say Franzia.
It doesn't exclusively come in that, but that's it's like cheap.
Yeah. Okay.
And I thought the test was to see if she was going to say something and, you know, or if she was not going to say anything because she didn't want to hurt my feelings,
yeah,
or if she would say something because it was so terrible. And she said something. She was like, oh my God, this is the worst rosé I've ever had.
Did she send it back or did she just like?
No, I told her that I played a joke on her.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She couldn't send it back.
Cause, Did she finish it?
And Lord, no.
No.
At that point, you just got to hold your nose and chug. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're paying for it, of course.
Yeah. But I mean, just to prove that I'm just as funny off the air as I am on the air.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Sure.
Everybody thought that was hilarious, especially my wife. She's like, what are you doing? Now we got to buy her a glass of rosé.
It's true.
Yeah.
No, she didn't say that. That's what I was thinking, though. God, that cost me some money on that
price. Yeah.
This is the TJ and Reagan Show. Available whenever you want it on the TJ and Reagan's app. This is the TJ and Reagan Show.
They're doing something that is raising some eyebrows in the nether regions. They are making playgrounds less safe on purpose. The people of the nether regions are saying, hey, we need to stop coddling these kids. So, they are proposing that they are to increase kids' access to open outdoor play areas to, quote, climb, play with water and fire, sword fight with sticks, build with hammers, ropes, or knives, and wrestle and fall.
Holy cow.
Now, I'm sure they don't mean actually playing with fire. I'm sure they just mean, you know, pretending like you're doing fire and things like that. But yeah, get them outside, get them roughhousing a little bit, which I think is great.
Yeah. Knives, though?
Yeah.
Knives?
Well, if they're taught how to do it properly.
I hope there's a hospital nearby. Mm-hmm.
They say it's not just about making spaces riskier. It's making them less boring. The more kids are sitting inside being less active because playing with their devices. I don't know why it quoted devices, but whatever. It didn't. It's more exciting than finding adventure outside. One mother says risk-taking play can be a good thing. No, really? It's learning about boundaries. Rough playing might lead to bumps or cuts, but it helps kids make social contact and to learn to deal with risks.
Mm-hmm. I'm just, I get going outside, get off your devices. I that's cool. But everything else in that article, I disagree with.
Well, looks like to me that the nether regions is looking to build an army to whoop us is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Good luck. Because our little soft kids ain't going to go and be able to fight for us, for Lady Liberty.
Sure.
Not unless they can, you know, blow them up with Candy Crush or something. That's what the kids are playing now, isn't it? Candy Crush. And Angry Birds.
Yeah. Angry Birds.
Get off Angry Birds and get outside.
Oh.
You need to go out there and do some adulting today.
Fighting with knives.
Yeah, here's your knife. Here's your lighter. Yeah. Have fun.
More TJ and Riggins coming up. The most important stories in the world. This is Now Trending on the TJ and Reagan Show.
Super Bowl tickets for Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans have fallen below $4,000. They're saying the ticket prices are plummeting. They said it couldn't be because people are just tired of seeing the Kansas City Chiefs. And another factor is that it's in New Orleans and they have a lot of seats in there, the Caesars Superdome. And the recent events that happened in New Orleans with the terrorist attack. And some people are just maybe a little hesitant to go down there. And they said those are some of the contributing factors.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this could easily be one of those situations where, you know, just like a lot of these superhero movies, the NFL has just taken this script and just run it all the way to the end. You know what I mean? Like they just dried up with this script of the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, going there to the Super Bowl and, you know, bringing in Taylor Swift for the sequels and all of this kind of thing. You know, Caitlin Clark making a cameo in, you know, in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I think they've just run out of juice.
Yeah.
Because the audiences don't like it anymore. It's too predictable.
You used script there twice. Do you think that it is scripted and rigged?
I think so, yeah. My humble opinion, of course.
Mm-hmm. Will this ruin the game for you, knowing that it is, as you say, scripted?
It's already been ruined for me.
You can't watch it anymore.
I don't watch it very much. I watch Joe Burrow when I can, or watch, you know, here or there. But no. They lost me when they started preaching to me every week.
Do you think college football is scripted?
No, it's not scripted, but it's on the way out as well. It's going downhill.
Wow.
With all the money being, you know, the NIL money, they call it, and the transfer portal. No, it's basically just a minor league for the NFL now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay. Interesting. Mm. You heard it here first. TJ believes the NFL is scripted. Mm. Love to hear it. Mm-hmm. Love to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Hot take. That is a hot take, no doubt about it. Today is National Thank a Mail Carrier Day. So thank your mail carrier. I got to be honest, my mail carrier does not stop long enough at my mailbox for me to even acknowledge them. They're pretty zippy.
It's pretty sexist, I think, though. Why can't you think a female carrier day?
NFL's rigged. So I know a lot of people forget about the middle child. I've got a middle brother. No one cares about him. But it turns out he does have some redeeming qualities, and I'll tell you about him next.
More TJ and Riggins coming up. This is the TJ and Riggins podcast and radio show.
So my name is Riggins. I'm a youngest child. I've got two older brothers. TJ's the youngest. He's only got one older brother. But Lindsay is one of three, and she's the middle child.
Mm-hmm.
She's got an older brother and a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
Squashed there in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about your experience, Lindsay, but my brother's experience as a middle child was not great because we didn't care about him. He's the middle child. No one cares about him. He was very charming. Everybody likes him. We don't care about him. And we would tell him to his face, like, no one cares about you. You know, just harassing him kind of like that.
You're adopted.
Was it your experience as a middle child? You were probably like the star of your family, weren't you?
Excuse me. Still am.
You are.
Oh, still am.
Yeah.
I'm the love child.
Yeah, right.
It's because I'm the only girl.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that plays a role. If it were three boys like it is in my family, I think it would probably be the same situation.
But the youngest is typically more babied. I mean, my younger brother got away with murder.
Yeah,
That's
what every middle child says.
Yeah.
The youngest always gets it off easy.
Yeah.
But it's probably true.
It's true.
It is true. But they just did a research on what makes people the way they are. They interviewed 700,000 adults and looked at their Hexaco personality profile based on six traits: honesty, humility, emotionality, extroversion, agreeableness, contentiousness, and openness to experience. And they found that the middle child ranked higher on agreeableness and honesty and humility, meaning they are the most agreeable, most honest, and usually the most kind. And that is exactly like my family dynamic.
Yeah.
The middle one.
Yep.
How do you explain this one, though?
I'm like,
I think her being the girl is the...
That throws it off.
I think that's the biggest factor, because I have one niece out of five nephews.
Yeah.
And she's treated like the princess, too.
Yeah.
She gets the best treatment.
I am not the most agreeable.
You are not the most agreeable. Uh-huh. I would agree with that.
I'm not the most emotional. I'm not the most... What were the other ones?
Openness to experience.
Oh, yeah.
Who's more emotional than you in your family?
My older brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And my younger brother. Yeah. Come to find out, it's all the boys. Yeah.
Yeah. Even her dad, the U.S. Marshal, is more emotional than she is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
Because she's got no emotions.
Is that true?
No, I'm emotional. My dad is emotional-less.
Emotionalist.
Yeah. Like, wait a second.
I've always said nobody cares about the middle child, but it turns out you're kind and agreeable and honest, and
everybody outside the family likes them best.
I guess so.
I don't know. More TJ and Riggins coming up.